You know, we're talking about how to discover God's will, God's plan, God's purpose, God's call on your life. So first of all of us, if you haven't been with us, let me review. All of us have a call on our life from God. God didn't leave any of us out. Everybody's called. You're called. Number two is God called you before you were born. That tells me that you have a big life. God's got a big life planned for you. So why make it small? Amen? A TV personality that's on television every weekend at Church on the Rock was in our 11 o'clock service last Sunday morning. And he texted me afterwards and said, can I have lunch with you? Because when you said that one phrase, don't make small what God made large, he said, I got to meet with you. I got to talk to you. I got to hear more about that. Everybody's looking for what God has them here on the planet for. If you've been with us, if you'll stay with me, you should know without a doubt what your call is. Know that you were called before you were born. And number three, our mistakes do not cancel out our call. Thank God. Our mistakes do not cancel out our call. The Bible says the calling and the gifting of God is irrevocable. That's in the New Testament of your Bible, Romans 11:29. That means that God's call on your life is permanent. That means that you and I are responsible to discover it, right? We are responsible to pursue it and find out what it is and then follow it and fulfill it with our life. Everybody in this room, including me, will stand before God. God won't ask you about your business. God won't ask you about your family. God won't ask you about your hobbies. God will ask you, what did you do with what I gave you to do while you were on the earth 70, 80, 100 years? So I want to help you discover God's will for your life. And we've told you several things that it is. And I just want to make it real simple for you today again. And that's this. You know, if we will walk in our calling and live out our purpose, you and I will be happy, fulfilled, and satisfied. Amen. If we're not walking in our calling, if we're not fulfilling our purpose, we'll be unhappy, unsatisfied, and unfulfilled. Kim and I got married in 1973. Whew, 1973. And, you know, we got married in 1973, and 2 years later, we loved each other, but we couldn't stand each other. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Don't look so holy now. So, you know, after 2 years of marriage, you know, we had fussed and fight and quarreled. Why? Because I wasn't happy. I had a beautiful wife. I have a beautiful wife. Gorgeous. When we got married, you know, I had a new Corvette. When we got married, I had a new motorcycle. We were buying a plot of ground, going to build a new house, only after 2 years of marriage. I'm in management where I work. I'm getting monthly bonuses for my leadership where I work. I'm going my way up the corporate ladder, but I'm unhappy. I'm unfulfilled, and I'm unsatisfied. And because I'm miserable, I was making her miserable. And we had a miserable home. So one Sunday morning, I got out of bed, and I said, Kim, I'm going to church. I'm going to church. She said, you go. I'm staying home at bedside assembly. She said, you go ahead and get out of here. So I went to church that morning. Now, that church is the church I grew up in. That church, everybody knew me. 1,000 members in that church, but everybody knew me. Everybody knew me. My dad was a deacon. My mom was a Sunday school superintendent. I got saved there, baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues there. I got married there. You know, everybody knew me. But that Sunday morning, I wasn't walking in God's calling. Oh, I had a beautiful wife. I had a great job on my way up corporate ladder. I had a brand new Corvette. I had a brand new motorcycle. We're going to build a new house, but I'm miserable. Why? Because I'm not walking in God's calling, living out my purpose. In the natural, it looks like I should be happy, but I was very unhappy. So that morning, I'm showing you how to find God's will for your life. So that morning, you know what I did? As soon as the pastor got done teaching, I can't tell you what he talked about, I ran to the altar. I ran to the altar. Do you know what that took? Humility. That took me humbling myself because everybody knew me. They thought I was doing fine, that I was right with God and right with man and on my way to success. Everybody thought everything was hunky-dory. Anybody know what that means in the Hebrew? Blessed. Amen. So I ran to the altar and I cried out to God and I said, God, I offer myself up, listen now, as a living sacrifice. That's the first way to know God's plan, God's purpose, God's will, God's call in your life. It takes you and I surrendering our life, not negotiating with God, not trying to arbitrate with God, but total surrender to God. That's the first step right there. Not my will, but thy will be done. The first step is that Sunday morning, I ran down there and I said, God, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of running from you. I'm sick and tired of running from what you've called me to do. So I didn't know what he called me to do. I just knew I had a call on my life. And so I said, you know what, God? I said, I give you everything. I give you my family. I give you my wife. I give you my career. I give you my car. I'm a car guy. Cars are big to me. I give you my motorcycle. I'm a motorcycle dude, man. I had my first motorcycle when I was 14 years old. I said, God, I give you all of this success. Man, I am a D personality. I'm a choleric. I'm achievement-minded, oriented. I said, God, I give you my success, whatever it might be. It was that Sunday morning when I yielded my life, surrendered my life, gave everything to God. The Bible calls it, I think, in your Bible, Romans 12, verse 1, offering up yourself as a living sacrifice. And then do you know what the next verse is in your Bible? Romans 12, verse 2. It says, renewing your mind, discovering what the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. So verse 2 tells me how to find God's will, but before verse 2, they taught me in school, comes verse 1. So before knowing God's will, it comes, I've got to just settle down and give my life to God. I got to surrender all. I got to yield all. I got to run to the altar. I got to get on my face. I got to suck carpet. I got to say, God, here I am. I present my life as a living sacrifice. Do you know what? When I got up from the altar that day, the load was lifted. Nothing on the outside had changed. Kim was at home, bedside assembly. Still had the Corvette sitting outside the house, the motorcycle in the front living room. Kim let me park my motorcycle in the living room. Praise the Lord. I really did. Yeah, I parked it in the front porch. And I had to get it. I didn't have a garage, so I parked it in the house. And everything was there. House was there. Job was everything was there on the outside. But on the inside, I had changed. I got on track. I said, God, not my will, your will. God, I want to know your plan, your purpose, your call, your destiny for my life. So here I am, God. I'm a living sacrifice. And you know that's the first step? And then the next step is you got to get in the presence of God. I taught that last Wednesday night. Last Wednesday night, I taught on how to find and fulfill God's will for your life before we had summer at COTR Wednesday night. Wasn't that cool, those of you who were here? I mean, we had a party on the patio. We had a wonderful time. And in fact, we had a miracle Wednesday night. My sermon was 15 minutes. And then we all went outside. But you know what? Even when I went outside, Mark, there were people asking me out there after the service, how do I find God's will? How do I know the call of God in my life? Folks, if you'll just listen in the service, if you'll just stay with me for this month, there's no excuse for you not knowing what God's will is for your life. But you know what? You know, where you work, who you marry, the house you live in, the state and the city, your career, doctor, lawyer, teacher, plumber, electrician, IT, those are all secondary. That's the unknown will of God. You and I are to be responsible for the known will of God. What is the known will of God? It's the Word of God. God won't give you the city, the state, the mate. The city, the state, the mate. What car, what house, what career, what university? Those are all unknown. You can't find those in the Bible. But what happens is if you and I will commit our life to do the known will of God, then God will commit to us to show us the unknown will of God in our life. If we'll get the horse before the cart, God will hook us up at the right time, and he'll show you what you need to know when you need to know it. It was 2 years later, after that Sunday morning, 2 years later, I still didn't know the specifics. All I knew is that I was going to answer the call, and I was going to obey what I knew to do. I was going to get in God's word, which is God's will. So many people want to know, you know, what state, what mate, am I a lawyer, a carpenter, a plumber, electrician? What am I to do with my life? What career? And they want to know all that, but they're not planted in a church. They're not sitting under a pastor. They're not doing the Word of God. They're not serving one, worshiping one. They're not a lifelong learner. They don't have their priorities right. And there's no way you're going to hear God's voice for the mate and the state and the career. Because if I'm not responsible with the little, God won't put me in charge over the large. Am I communicating today? That's why you got so many Christians making so many dumb decisions, going into business with other Christians, stepping out and doing things, saying it was God, marrying somebody that won't even come to church, taking a job that takes them out of church on the weekend, saying they heard from God. That's not God. That's their flesh. That's their goosebumps. That's White Castle. That's Pizza Hut. That's Chipotle's. Come on, somebody. So here's how you hear the Word of God and know the Word of God. It was 2 years later. What are you doing, Pastor? What I'm about to share with you today, 5 things. That's what I was doing. It was 2 years later. I'm in a chapel after a service, a church service. I'm on a campus where there was a chapel, beautiful chapel. The service was over. Everybody was gone. But they left the lights on dim. I lingered. If you ever read the story in the Bible of Joshua, who was a servant of Moses, and Moses was the greatest leader in the Old Testament, if you ever read the story, it says that Joshua, after Moses would go in the tent and come out, Joshua would linger around the outside. What was that? He didn't rush out of church. He wanted to spend time at the altar, lingering in the presence of God. How do you find the God's will for your life? Get in His presence. So 2 years later, I'm at a campus, and I'm at this chapel, and the service is over, and they're done singing. The preacher's gone. Lights are dim, and I'm at the altar, sucking carpet, crying out to God. God, You said that the steps of a righteous person are ordered by the Lord. Notice, steps. God leads you in steps. Psalm 37:23. And what it says is when you enjoy this step and you busy yourself in this step, then God will show you the next step. Wow. So you do not pass go. You don't go from the first grade to the eighth grade with God. Amen. I gotta do everything God wants me to do in this step, and I gotta enjoy the journey before God's gonna show me the state, the mate, the career, the choice, the business. If I'm not doing the fundamentals, if I'm not doing the fundamentals like John Wooden said, if I'm not doing the fundamentals, then how can I expect for God to show me the next step? So I'm there, and you know what I'm doing? I'm praising the Lord. I'm worshiping God. I'm magnifying the Lord. I'm saying, God, I just want to thank You. I want to thank You. I want to praise You. I want to worship You. I want to honor You. And doesn't your Bible say He inhabits the praises of His people? Doesn't the Bible say that in His presence, I think it does, Psalm 16, verse 11, that in His presence, where? In His presence, He will show you the path for your life. American Christians are way too busy for God. They're way too busy for spending time and having an altar, having a closet, at their house, a quiet time, a devotional time, where men can be a priest, a prophet, a king, and a spiritual leader. We're too busy for God. And when we're too busy for God, my brother and sister, we're too busy. So it was when God's presence, that day, I heard God's voice on the inside. Wasn't outside, inside. 2 years after, I offered myself up as a living sacrifice. I heard God say on the inside, Dave, I've called you to be a pastor teacher of a mega church, a church of influence, a church that will help change the world. That's the call in your life, Pastor Feeder. Now, I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful for that. I'm so thankful that thank God for the call. When you and I walk on our call, we live out God's purpose and we're happy. Amen. Didn't say it's easy, but we're happy in spite of our happenings. Amen, church. Yeah? So how do you find God's will for your life? You got to get in His presence. How do you do that? You got to make time for God. Notice you're not going to get time. You're not even going to find time. Hello, everybody. You're going to make time. If you really want to know God's purpose, I know you do, really want to know God's call, God's will, God's plan, then, brother, sister, you're going to have to make time. Make time. Your kids, Dad, need to see you praying at home. Your kids need to see you worshiping God at church, lifting your hands, entering in, praising God out loud. Your kids need to see you giving in the offering. You need to teach them to give at youth and children and nursery. Your kids are going to model their life after your life. Amen. So that's how you find the will of God for your life. It's getting in the revealed will of God. That's the word. And being accountable, responsible, and pursue that. No, Pastor, I want to know the mate and the state, the career. I want to know the school, the university, the job. I want to know all that. He's not going to tell you that until you get depth, a foundation, build your character, get close to him, have a relationship, so that when he does give you those things, you'll be a witness for him. You'll make a difference with your life. Amen. You won't get shipwrecked. You won't quit. Won't be up and down. You won't waver. You'll leave a legacy. Am I connecting with anybody? Okay. So let's look at it today. Here's what we're talking about. We all have the call of God on our life to live a productive life. We all have the call of God on our life to live what kind of life? Not lazy. No, I don't got time for God. No, I don't got time to pay my bills, be the father I should be the person I should be. No, we're called to live a successful life. My brother and sister, when you were born again, I like to say it this way, you were born to win. You are winners, overcomers, high achievers. God has a dream for your life. God wants you to be productive, not lazy, not indifferent, not passive, not settling for small when God wants your life to be large. Come on, give the Lord a good thank you today for his goodness. Amen. So let's build, okay? John 15, verse 8. Let's build on the word of God. Herein is my Father glorified. And you know what? We want to make God look good. That's what that means, make God look good. You know, on our campus, we want to make God look good. That's why those of you guys, you got different talents. You're a plumber, you're an electrician. You should be donating your time to this church. You're a painter. You're whatever you do, you should be donating it to this church. This is God's house. And you make God look good with your craft when you take care of his house. And if you need your business to take off, sow your business into this church. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I can tell you stories of 30 years. This isn't going to happen for everybody. But I know right now five different people down through the years that served and sowed and planted their service in this church in that North Campus and became multimillionaires. Not everybody that's going to happen for. I can't promise you that. But it's just principle. It's Bible. It's the way it works. So we should be making God look good with our campus. We should make God look good with our home, our career, our habits, our character, our responses, our outlook. Everything about us, we're on this planet to point people to God. You know, who was it? Gandhi. He said, I would have been a Christian except for all the Christians. What was he saying? Christians make me sick. He was saying Gandhi. He was saying, I'd be a Christian if it wasn't for the Christians. Our job is to make God look good. The call in your life is to live a productive life. What does that look like? The word productive in the Bible is the word fruitful. It's the word fruitful. Everyone say fruitful. All right. Here is my Father glorified, that you bear much, not just fruit, not just more, but that you bear much. Much fruit, so you shall be my disciple. What is a disciple? A disciple is a lifelong learner. And he says that you make God look good by living a productive life. You're called to live a productive life. Next verse, can we look at verse 16, I believe it is? You didn't call me, but I called you. No, God, that's all Bible stuff. That's preacher stuff. That's churchy stuff. God, I want to know who's my mate? Who's my date? What's the state? God, I want to know the salary and the status, and I want to know the campus and the career. God's not going to show you that until you do the fundamentals, until you do the known will of God, which is the word of God. Then he'll reveal to you what you don't know when you need to know it. Oh, that's good preaching, Pastor. You're welcome. You're so welcome. He said, you didn't call me, but I called you and I ordained you. So say, I'm called and I'm ordained. And the word ordained means to set apart for a specific purpose. There it is. You got a unique life, a called life, a special life. I told the guys Friday night, all you wives, I told your husbands and those fathers, I said, you're to be like our Heavenly Father. And he said three things about his son at the River Jordan and the Mount of Transfiguration. He said to his son, I love you. Number two, I believe in you. Number three, you're unique, special, and have a call in your life. That's what God the Father said over God the Son. As godly fathers, we should be saying that over our sons. I did this morning to both of my sons. I did to my spiritual fathers. I text them and I said, you're special to me. I need you in my life. You inspire me. You bless me. I love you and I cherish you. It's all biblical. He called us. He ordained us that you should go forth and what? Lay on the couch, eat Doritos, expect the church to pay your way. No. That you should what? Bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should what? Remain. Remaining fruit is what we call legacy. Work on your legacy and God will show you the state, the mate, the career, and the call. That you don't know, God will show you when you need to call. What is my legacy? Come to church like y'all did today. Bring my family. Be on time. Worship. Enter in. My kids need to see me worshiping the Lord. They need to see me giving the offering. They need to see me respond to the word. They need to see me take notes. Because if I'm sleeping and if I'm on my iPhone, so are they. We need God's help to do our job. Right, guys? All right? So he said your fruit should remain. That means leave a legacy. So notice we've all been called to live a what kind of life? Productive. Well, what is that, Pastor? Fruitful. Well, what is that, Pastor? Five things. Five things. Number one, here's fruit in the Bible. You know, that fruit stuff, what is that? Apple, oranges, Pastor? No. Here's what it is. Number one, the fruit of repentance. Can you say that with me? The fruit of repentance. And let's look at it. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8. Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. This is so good. Bring forth the fruit. Now notice, family, in every scripture, you'll see fruit. And what is a fruitful life? A productive life. And what are we called to live? Not a lazy life, not a hit and miss, not once in a while. We're called to be winners, overcomers, achievers, and possessors of the promises of God. Amen? And to make God look good in being busy, active, productive, get it done, result-oriented people. So he says, bring forth the fruit that's consistent with repentance. What does that mean? Let your lives prove that you've had a change of heart. So every day of my life, my goal is to get up and act like Jesus. Do I every day of my life? Ask Pastor Ken. No, don't ask Pastor Ken. No, I don't every day of my life. But what is our goal? Process. What is our goal? Progress. What is our goal? You and I, the fruit that we're supposed to do is we're to prove to our family we're changed. We're not the same as we were before. Old things pass away, all things become new. Amen? You know, years ago, you know, at high school reunions, I never would go back to them. But I'd go back to my hometown, and I'd see some of the guys I grew up with. And one guy owned a Dairy Queen. Another guy owned a gas station. Other guy became a doctor in my hometown. Other guy did this. Other guy did this. The guys I ran around with. And when I would go around them, they'd say, man, Blunt, you don't act the same. What's wrong with you? That's what you want to hear. Man, Blunt, you don't talk the way, you don't act the way, you don't have the swag you used to have. You don't do this, you don't do that. You're different. What happened to you? That's fruit. You want your old friends to see a difference. You want your family to see a difference. You want your present friend. That's fruit. Okay? Number two is the fruit of the Spirit. Number two, fruit of the Spirit. Josh did an outstanding job, has it here for us, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, notice it doesn't say fruits. I've met a few in my time in the church, fruits, but it says fruit, okay? So what does that mean? You can't separate them. When did you get them? When you got born again. How many of them are there? Nine. What are they? The character of Christ. God cares more about you answering the call to become like Christ than the car or the career or the salary or the status or the mate or the state that you live in. He's more concerned about you today doing what you know to do with what you have heard and know from the Word of God to be more like Jesus today. If I'll try to work on being more like Jesus today, I'm walking in my calling. No, 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 Pastor, that doesn't help me. It will. No, 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 Pastor, I need to know the state. I need to know the mate. You know what I mean by that, right? Where do I move? Do I relocate? Who do I marry? I need to know the car decisions. I need to know the career. All that comes secondary. That's all secondary to God. This is the first and most important thing, fruit in your life, a productive life, to become like Jesus. What are the nine fruit? Let's look at them. Galatians 5. Am I helping anybody? Galatians 5, verse 22. Let the Holy Spirit produce this kind of fruit in our life. Boy, this doesn't sound like the world. This doesn't sound like our culture. It's counterculture, isn't it? Yeah. And look what the fruit is. Love. So every day we should be getting more loving. Joy. Every day we got to work. I'm working on my joy level. Y'all pray for me. Amen. You know, in staff meeting, you know, we've been having these labs and talking about things that we need to change and this, that, and the other and what we're going to work on. I said, I'm going to work on smiling. You know, my sons tell me, Dad, you don't smile enough. Dad, you need to smile more. So would y'all pray for me? Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life, joy, peace. We should be growing in this. This is the will of God for your life. This is God's call. No, preacher, I want to know. No, 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 he's not going to tell you that until he sees you working on this every day. Okay? So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Next verse. Gentleness, self-control, there's no law against these things. So the first fruit is the fruit of repentance. The second fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. And the third fruit is winning souls. Winning souls. The fruit of winning souls. Who have you won to the Lord lately? Who have you invited to church lately? Pastor, I just can't lead people to Christ. Yes, you can. As your pastor feeder, I'm telling you, I believe in you, you can. Pastor, I'm just not an extrovert. I'm an introvert. It's hard for me to make friends. You can still lead people to Christ. How do you do that? With your story. You got a story that nobody has. And your story can connect with someone else's story. And we've all been called to lead people to Jesus Christ. All right, let's look at it. Proverbs 11, verse 30. Going a little longer today. The fruit of the Now, do y'all see the word fruit? All right, in every scripture, we're called to live a productive life. What is productive? It is fruitful. Say it with me, productive is fruitful. Okay, so the fruit of the uncompromisingly righteous is a tree of life, and he or she who is wise, they capture human lives for God. You capture human lives for God. You are a fisher of men. You gather and you receive them in for eternity. Notice this is called fruit. This is God's word, so it's God's will. So the third fruit that we're to be fruitful in is we're all to win souls. We're all to look for opportunities. No, no, preacher, I want to know the mate and the date and the state, and I want to know this, that. You think God's going to lead us in those things if we're not striving towards these things, the foundation, the fundamental? Yeah. The Bible says that the light, the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter, okay? So he says here then again that the third fruit is that we win souls. When's the last time you invited someone to church? When's the last time you talked to someone about Jesus Christ? My greatest joy comes at the end of every service. Yeah. My greatest joy. The Bible says there's a soul winner's joy. Did you know that? Your Bible says there's a soul winner's joy. So if I'm not winning souls, if I'm not interested in evangelism and outreach, I'm missing out on a joy that comes into my life as a Christian that only comes through leading people to Christ. My greatest joy is the altar call when I see hands raised to make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. So the first fruit is the fruit of repentance. The second fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. The third fruit is the fruit of winning souls. And the fourth fruit is the fruit of a praise life. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13, the fruit of a praise life. Now, family, let me give you a testimony. In my life today, You know, when Kim and I came here 35 years ago this October, 35 years, we love you and we love our city. 35 years ago, you know, we had different cities of people who wanted us to go start a church. 35 years ago, we had people in different cities who were inviting us, and in the natural, they were better situations than in St. Louis to come start a church. How did we know which way to go? How did we know, should it be Dallas, California, Des Moines, Iowa? How do we know? Or St. Louis? How do we know God's will? The unrevealed will of God. How do we know, God? How did we know this was the right choice to come here 35 years ago with 35 people? How did we know? Here's how I found out. By praising the Lord. By praising God. When you don't know what to do, offer up the sacrifice of praise. You with me, family? All right. So he says, through him, therefore, let us constantly and at some times, all times. So when you don't know the specific will of God, you rely on the known will of God. All right. So at all times, offer up the sacrifice of praise. Look at the word fruit. Y'all see the word fruit? The sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of the lips. You acknowledge God, you confess, and you glorify God. So praise is fruit. Isn't that amazing? Praise is fruit. Now, let me show you another verse. This is the verse that brought Kim and I, one of them, here. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Is it okay if I show you with you my own experiences that we've lived out before you for 35 years? All right? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Thank God in everything. No matter what the circumstances may be thankful, give God thanks, for this is what? I just showed you God's will for your life today. No, preacher, wake up. Monday, I got some decisions. I got a court case. I got to go to the doctor. I got to make decisions about my kids for the school. What am I going to do with them? Wake up. I need to know. Here's how you're going to know. Father, I just love you today. I just praise you today. I just worship you today. You're a good God. You provided for me. You protect me. I honor you. I bless you. I praise you. I worship you. I glorify you. I enter into church. They got to ring a bell to get me to stop praising the Lord. I just so it's overflow, God. I just seven times a day, Lord, I'm going to praise your holy, wonderful name. Okay, now what happens? What happens? Look at the verse. It says, then Jesus, the can you read it? Then Jesus, the... What do you need? God's will revealed to you. You need to know what mate, what state, what church, what career, what club, what people, what neighborhood, what decision, what investment. You need to know. It's unrevealed. When is the unrevealed going to be revealed to you? When you and I do the revealed. And the revealed is live a productive life, a fruitful life. And what is that? A life of praise, not just a church. Your kids need to see you praising God all the time. Ask my two sons. They'll tell you, when we think of you, Dad, growing up in the house where the Urzies live today, when we think about you, Dad, we hear you doing this in the hallway. I'm so glad they don't say, Dad, we remember you at the casino, dude. We remember you gambling, that adulterous affair. We remember you beat my mother. To God be the glory. So when you don't know what to do, what do? You do what you know what to do. The word of God is the will of God. What do? You praise him. What's he going to do? Reveal it to you. He's going to reveal it to you. But not only is he the revealer, but he is the mediator. He'll join you to it. He will bring the people, connect them to you. The timing, the investors, the partners, all the things that you need. He will negotiate it and arbitrate it and connect you and mediate. He'll be your mediator to cause the will of God to come to pass in your life. You don't got to make it happen. He will make it happen. So number one, I'm hustling. Team's coming out. Boy, I got a big blabber mouth today. Y'all praying for me. Four times this weekend. What's wrong with me? Praise God. Guess my cup runneth over. So the fruit of repentance, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of soul winning, the fruit of praise life, And the last, the fruit of, and you're going to love me for this, giving. Did you know your giving is called fruit? And that's why every week I challenge you to give more. I challenge you, you should be giving more right now than you did this time last year. Why do I do that? That's fruit. Because when I don't know what to do, I'm going to do what I know to do, and I know I'm to be a generous giver. And what is that? The Word of God. And look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 17. Philippians 4, 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire what? Fruit. And what's this all about? Verse 19, this is all about giving. Verse 18, giving and receiving. What is this all about? Giving. Every time you and I give in the offering, it's fruit. Every time you and I give and sow and help somebody, it's fruit. What does he want you to do? Be fruitful. We should be growing in our generosity. We shouldn't be tithing to the penny. I'm getting bad to the bone again. Pray for me. Service is about over. Man, we shouldn't do that. That's skimpy. That's lack thinking. That's hard to get by. Oh, my Jesus. We should be generous and growing in generosity because that's the character of our God. For God so loved us, he gave us everything. He gave us his son. That's the fifth fruit. Did you get something today? Give the Lord a praise. Thank him for his word.